Take your Bibles and find, if you would, the 27th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27, as we pick up our study here, as we're making our way really and truthfully now into the final section of this book, our series that we have entitled Things to Remember, and excited about what God has for us this evening. We picked up last week as we finished a major section from chapter 12 all the way through to chapter number 26 as Moses was giving to the nation the laws and the statutes and the judgment that God wanted them to have and wanted them to know. And we have been taking some weeks to make our way through that. And so now he is beginning here his final address and moving forward here to close this book. And so chapter 27, verse number 1, I'd like to read the first 10 verses by way of introduction and then have our lesson. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster." Pastor, they had plaster in the Bible? Yeah. "And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore, because of that, it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal. And thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. Thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and," would you say that word, class? "Rejoice." Circle that, highlight that, underline that. "Rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly." And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all the Israel, saying, "Take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." That admonition that Moses has given them is given to them after the giving of their laws. This is after their declaration in chapter number 26, verse number 17, where they have avouched the Lord this day to be their God, that they would position themselves in a way that they would walk with him and obey him. Verse number 18 of that chapter, the Lord has avouched them this day to be his peculiar people, or his special people, "as he hath promised thee, and thou shalt keep all of his commandments." And so God is preparing them now. He has prepared them. He has brought them out. He has revealed himself to them. He has given them the statutes and the commandments that he wants for them. He has told them how he wants them to operate when they find themselves in the promised land. And he's making a very important point here in this chapter, as he begins the 27th chapter, of making sure that when they get into the promised land, they remember all that God had taught them, that they remember the law. I won't take the time, but at Deuteronomy chapter 27, in verse right there before verse number 1, you ought to write Deuteronomy chapter number 11 and write verses 26 to 32. Because in reality, you will find as you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 11, God said, I've set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And God had told them that he would bless them and provide for them if they would obey him, if they would know him in their heart, if they would follow all that he has commanded them. And then from chapter 12 all the way to chapter 26, he gave them all those laws and statutes. And really chapter 27, Moses picks back up with that thought from chapter number 11. That will help you link this chapter to that chapter, and you'll be able to follow along. And so God wanted them to take these big stones when they get over there. He wanted them to plaster them so they could write on them. And he wanted them to do two things. He wanted them to write all of the law on that very plainly so that they would know it and so that they would see it and that they would be constantly reminded of what was set before them. The blessing of the law and the curse of that law. He also wanted them at that moment in time to build an altar and offer sacrifices. Come back to verse number 6 and come back to verse number 7. You have a burnt offering sacrifice and you have a peace offering. And as they were to offer these sacrifices, they were to eat that and there was to be joy before the Lord. So they find themselves in the promised land. They find themselves now with the responsibility, and you'll find in Joshua 8, they actually do this. You find that God wants them to put this law written so that they always remember that law. And so, but he also wanted them to perform these sacrifices so they always had the ability to rejoice. And as they remember the law, they're remembering blessings and they're remembering curses. Chapter 28 is verse number 1. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments. And then it goes on and for a few verses there and gives all of the blessings. Verse number 15, when you get to verse 15, he says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments this day, then all these curses shall come upon thee. And you go all through the rest of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and you can hardly believe what you are reading as to God bringing to the nation, because of their disobedience, these curses. And so I need to set a context here to show you. So God says, now this is what I want you to do. When you get into that land, I want you to plaster, build them rocks, plaster those rocks, write the law. I also want that altar built, and I want you to sacrifice. So in the heart and mind of God, he wants them to remember the law, the choice, blessing and cursing. He wants them to understand, and by the way, that's what the law is. The law is very polarizing. It's either going to, it knows not any gray area. It knows not any grace. It's going to be either all of blessing or all of cursing. But at the same time, he wants them to have these sacrifices there. Now remember, all through the book of Deuteronomy, I've told you, the practices may be different, but the principles are the same. Having understood what God wants for them, go, if you would, to verse number 11. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Now you remember in Deuteronomy chapter 11, God said, when you get in there, set the blessing on Mount Gerizim, set the curse on Mount Ebal. He's picking back up with that thought right now. And he says, now when you get in there, I want you six tribes to be on Mount Gerizim. I want you six tribes to be on Mount Ebal. And follow in verse 14. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molded image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and put it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, what people? All right. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father, or treat with contempt his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, all right, so now remember this now. You've got six tribes on Gerizim, six tribes on Ebal. You got the Levites in the middle. They're announcing all of these curses, and the people are responding. Verse 17, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Verse 18, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people said, amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife. Verse 21, cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. 22, cursed be he that lieth with his sister. 23, cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. 24, cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. 25, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. Verse 26, cursed be he that conformeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, all right, so you have half on this side, half on this side. You have the Levites here, and the Levites are making known these statements. And really and truthfully, when you take these statements of cursing, they align really and truthfully with that law as you break them down categorically, even the Ten Commandments. And the people at that time, of their own willingness, will say amen, which is a sign of receptance or agreement. It's a sign that they're agreeing to this. They're putting themselves under these things. And so basically what they're saying by saying amen is that we agree with the law. We agree that if we obey, we will be blessed, and if we disobey, that we will be cursed. And they're putting themselves in this position with God. Now, time out. Pastor, we're not under the law, right? How in the world is this applicable to us? Great question. When I read this passage, I was thinking the same thing. Lord, help me. And then God unfolded something that you need to know and understand, and we're going to and links it up beautifully. Chapter 27, verse 26. Beside that verse, write Galatians chapter 3, verse number 10. This verse, where the nation of Israel says amen to the fact that they want to be put under the responsibility of the total law. Not just the Ten Commandments, but all of the law. Listen to what verse 26 says. Cursed be he that conformeth not, what class? All the words of this law to do them. I ask you this question. Has anybody in this room kept the whole law? Has anybody ever kept the whole law? But Israel here, God said, now I want you to write the law down. I want you to remember it. I want you to remember what choice you have in the law. Blessing and cursing. We will keep it. We will do it. You can count on me, God. You ever told God that? This verse in particular, Paul, in one of the most beautiful, powerful epistles that he wrote, Paul reaches all the way back into Deuteronomy and grabs that one verse and pulls it into the life of the church of Galatia. And I want you to go to chapter number 3 of the book of Galatians, because I need you to understand chapter 3 of the book of Galatians and how Paul uses this verse to teach us a truth about our salvation. to teach us a truth about the salvation of God, to teach us a truth about the law that enables me to remember the law, but enables me to rejoice as well. I have found that there's not much rejoicing in the law. There's either a blessing to that you obey, but we, in our physical ability, we can obey very little. For most of the law, you'll read is cursing. When you read chapters 27 and chapter 8, it's curse, 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 curse. Watch what Paul does with this verse in the mind of the Galatians, and then I think you'll understand and learn greatly from Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 20, and chapter 28. Chapter 3, verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Paul's writing to these church at Galatians. These folks have received the Lord. A church has begun. This church has been infiltrated with Judaizers. And Judaizers have shown up, and this is what they have said to the church at Galatia. It's okay if you want to believe in Jesus. You must believe in Jesus. But in order to be saved, you also have to obey the law. And what they were trying to do with the church at Galatia was they were trying to infiltrate and impose upon them a Judaist way of believing that combined faith and works. Let's be real clear about something. Man is justified by faith and faith alone. Okay. So Paul, realizing what is happening in this infiltration in this church, like our church, challenges them. Verse number 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I put that question to you. Please answer within your conscience. Did you get saved by the keeping of the law or did you get saved by faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Paul says, is there any supernatural power in the law or a supernatural power tied to faith? Verse number 6, he gives them an illustration. Even as, say his name, believed God, and it was counted to him for what? So how did Abraham get saved? By faith. Now remember, Paul is dealing with this church, mostly Romans, been infiltrated by Judaizers who want to say, we be of the seed of Abraham. And then they want to transgress through Abraham into Moses and the law. And so they want to go back and they want to say that true salvation is coming only by keeping the law. Paul goes right back to Abraham before Moses and says, wait a minute now. If that be true, before the law, Abraham was justified. How, if it is the law that brings justification, would Abraham be justified? Because the law was 430 years after this. By the way, Abraham is justified the same way you and I are justified, by faith. So the Bible says in Genesis 15, Abraham believed God and it was counted, imputed unto him for righteousness. Stick with me. This is my smart crowd on Wednesday night. You people love the word of God. All right, wake up. Here you go. All right. Verse number 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So really and truthfully, when you're talking spiritually here, he's talking that. The children of Abraham, which they wanted to be considered, are really and truthfully ones that come to God by faith as well. The scripture foreseeing, verse 8, that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. We know this goes back to Genesis. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. It's always been by faith. Verse number 10 is our verse. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the what? Curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in what? All things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Where is it written? Where is that verse written? Deuteronomy 27. Don't you remember? Cursed be those who do not do all of the works of the law. So Paul goes back and Paul says, now wait a minute. You're wanting to find salvation by keeping the law. You're wanting to identify righteousness through good works, but understand this. It's written in the Old Testament, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things when it comes to the law. Would you please go, hold your hand here, and would you please go to James chapter 2 and let me show you something. James chapter 2, look if you would please, at verse number 10. Write it down if you want to by that verse. But here's what James chapter 2 verse number 10 says. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of what? Of all. So cursed, it is written, be anyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the law. The Bible is very clear and your conscience is very clear. None of us have kept all of the law. Therefore, if you break one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. One of the most beautiful illustrations I read about this was one of the commentators that said, just pretend that you were hanging off of a cliff by a chain. Somehow, as you were going over the cliff, you caught a chain and you're there and you're dangling. How many of those links have to break before you're down? Just one. Come back to Galatians. I'm driving somewhere. When you get done, you're going to say, Pastor, I didn't know where you were going, but I sure am happy. Amen. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, many people try to justify themselves by their behavior or their good works or the keeping of their some kind of righteous merit. But that's not how God justifies you. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. If you're going to do them, you're going to do all of them. And no man's going to do that. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise the Lord. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why would he do that? Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. If you're a Gentile and you know the Lord, say amen to that one. Praise the Lord. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now Paul says, now understand what a covenant is. If a covenant is made and a covenant is confirmed, a covenant cannot be broken. A covenant is made and a covenant is confirmed, then a covenant cannot be broken. Now he's going into their Jewish history here, and he's going to make them an illustration. Look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his, what's that word? Seed, were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, and as of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Jesus Christ. So the covenant was made to Abraham. Abraham, in thy seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. We know that that seed went to his son Isaac. We understand that he was the chosen one. And from that, we understand the great seed to be the coming of the Lord Jesus. All right. So God made him a covenant. Verse number 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So what is he saying? God made Abraham a covenant. God made Abraham a covenant of promise. And there was a covenant that was confirmed in Christ as he fulfilled the law, but it does not make that other covenant of no effect. Verse number 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by, say that word, promise. Verse 19. This is where I'm driving. Wherefore then serveth the law? Pastor, if God made a covenant with Abraham, and God made that covenant based on promise, and Abraham's covenant was fulfilled based on faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him. If God made that promise based on faith, and we understand that we're not, where it's impossible to keep the law or to be saved by doing good works, then why in the world did God give them the law? Why was the law added? Oh, he answers this. Verse 19. It was added because of, say that word, transgressions. Transgression is the definition of sin. What is sin? The transgression of the law. Pastor, why was the law added to the nation of Israel? Why was it given to them? Not because of the transgression of God. Our God knows no transgression. But it was given for their transgression. Look, if you would. Till the seed should come to who the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Paul says this. If there would have been a law that God could have given, that would have given eternal life, then salvation would have been by the law. Is there anything wrong with the law? No. Is the law holy? Absolutely. Is the law what God gave? Absolutely. Where was the problem in the law? Let me ask it this way. Who was the problem with the law? That law, I don't have time, but I'll show it to you in a moment. That law was designed to make them fear the glorious name of God. And what the law did is it set forth the nature of God. They wanted it. They wanted to prove that they could somehow merit salvation. And the law was added so that it would reveal to them their sinful nature. Look at verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that, what class? Believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto, say his name, that we might be justified by how? Faith. But after that faith has come, hallelujah, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By the way, every Christian in this room needs that verse. Anytime you hear somebody say, well, we are all God's children. No, we're not. And when you go to that, this is the verse you give them. The Bible says very clearly that you're only the child of God if you have faith in Jesus Christ. Pastor, why are you telling us this? Paul was preaching to people who were being infiltrated with false doctrine, and they were being told that you can believe in Jesus, but you also have to keep the law. And Paul's making it very clear why the law was added to the nation. It did not make the promise of God of none effect. Salvation in the mind and heart of God and in humanity has always been by faith. And it can never be by the keeping of the law. When God gave them that law, it was designed for them to look at that law and to see in that law themselves, to see the sin of their own heart, to see the immorality of their life, to see the condemnation that they were headed for. This is why God did that. Are you with me, or did I completely lose you? You're halfway. Come back now. Let me wrap it up. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Let me show you that verse I was talking about. Look at verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. This is why God gave them this law. Now, let me wrap our context. Chapter 27, verses 1 to 10. When you get into the land, I want you to take those big rocks, and I want you to plaster those big rocks, and I want you to write that law down. Now listen, don't let anybody with bad penmanship write it down. Write it very plainly. Write it. Write where I have set you between a blessing and a curse. And you write exactly my law on that wall, so it will always be in front of you. They went and did this. We're going to set it there so it can be in front of us. And this is how we're going to measure our righteousness. We're going to promise you, God, that we are going to keep all of the law. They had done that once before in the book of Exodus, and it wasn't very much longer. They were building a golden calf. That wasn't what God wanted. Come back to verse number 6. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And thou shalt offer, say those two words, burnt offerings. And thou shalt offer in verse number 7, what? Peace offerings. What were these? The burnt offering and the peace offering. The burnt offering was an offering of dedication. The burnt offering was a recognition of how great God is. The peace offering was an understanding and symbolic of the peace that Jesus Christ makes for us with God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 says that if we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. If you have peace with God by Christ, say amen. Never were they going to get peace by keeping the law. He wanted them to write it so they would know there's no hope that way. And he wanted those offerings and those sacrifices to rise up so they would know that there is hope. And that hope is in the Lord. Anytime you have law without the sacrifice to atone for that, all you have is condemnation. That's all you have. All the law can do is show me that I am a sinner who deserves to go to hell. But hallelujah, one has already took my hell, sacrificed for me. Now remember this, the promised land was a land that God gave them out of grace. And God said, when you get in here, I want you to live inside of my grace. In the promised land, the way that they were afforded victory was by faith. He said, I want you to remember my law. I want it to be before you, but I want you to remember my grace. And as you offer those burnt offerings and as you offer those peace offerings, those are representative of the promised seed that is coming for you in the Lord Jesus. But the nation of Israel made such a tragic mistake when they tried to position themselves to find justification by the law. Listen, you can't do enough good deeds to justify yourself. Hallelujah, God didn't leave salvation up to me to justify. He justified me by faith. And you think about what God was preparing for them. You think about them being the second generation. The first generation died in unbelief. You think about all that God did for them. All the symbolism that God did. All of the explaining. All of the teaching. Right there. And yet, we'll keep that whole thing, God. You can count on me. You better be counting on a lot more than you to find salvation. You better be counting on the only one who can. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why that law was added. It didn't make that covenant of no effect. It was added to show them their transgressions. I can't wait to take you to the end of the book. Shall we pray?